good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, a busy programme in store tonight. Coming up later, I'll be hearing from Justin McDonough, nutritionalist with Orivo, about some useful advice concerning what farmers can do to plan ahead and minimise the risk of fodder shortages for the winter ahead and spring 2019. But first of all, I want to tell you about AgriAware's inaugural National Open Farm Day. I've been finding out more from Deirdre O'Shea, Executive Director of AgriAware.
Yes, good evening, Chris. So as you pointed out, we are hosting our first National Open Farm Day on the Bank Holiday Monday, which is the 7th of May. So we're opening the gates of four farms across the country to members of the general public so they can experience a working farm. And I suppose the whole idea behind the concept is to relate back to the land, and so that people can understand where their food comes from and what farmers do on a daily basis to ensure that we provide this quality food that we have available to us here in Ireland. So the four farms are located, one in Mayo, one in Cork, one in Wicklow and one in Dublin. So on the Mayo farm, Breege and Porrick Joyce in Éireann Éadaí, County Mayo, they're predominantly dairy farmers and finish some beef as well. So they will open their gates from 11 to 4 on the 7th of May. So what can you expect to see on the day, I suppose, is what people will be interested in. So there's a number of key zones or key activities on the farm that visitors can enjoy and engage in activities. So number one is the enterprise itself. So it's a meet the farmer. It's talking to the Joyces about what they do in terms of what does it mean to be a dairy farmer. So it'll be a tour of the farm. So that's the first area. The next section is a machinery section, and we'll have a representative there from Grassmen, some of your listeners may be familiar with, who will talk about machinery and the safety element to that as well. And then we've a dedicated area to farm safety as well. I suppose it's an important topic, particularly when we have people visiting a farm, is to talk to them and educate them about the importance of farming in a safe manner. Number four then is the kids zone. So we'll have lots of activity in the kids zone, from butter discos to milk races. We have sheep shearing, colouring competitions. So there's lots of activity in the kids zone. And then to bring it all full circle, we have a chef. So the chef for the Mayo farm is Sharon Hearn Smith. So Sharon will be cooking a variety of recipes on the day as well. So again, it brings it full circle, and it reminds people of the importance of the farmer right through to the end product that they can enjoy on their dinner tables.
Now, we hear a lot about Food Ireland, and fortunately we live in part of the Wild Atlantic Way, and people want to see more local produce and that whole journey from farm to fork, as they say. And I suppose one of your aims is to essentially bridge that gap between the urban folk who may not appreciate and be even aware of some of the things that are going on in their own area.
Exactly. So that's a huge part of what we're trying to do in AgriAware, is to try to educate, as you mentioned, the urban consumer. So we felt that one of the ways that we could achieve this is through this open farm. What better way to educate people than to bring them right to the source? And then, as I mentioned, linking that back with the chef, to bring it full circle and really educate them about the whole farm to fork food circle. And we'll have a number of local food businesses present at Joyce's farm as well on the day. So look, there'll be something there for everybody, whether you've never visited a farm before or whether you're from a farming background. There'll be something there to cater for all categories, whether you're from urban or rural Ireland. But that's exactly what we're trying to do, is to bridge that gap and to show to the urban dweller that agriculture is as important or more important for them as it is for everybody else. I think if you go back to recent weeks, and when we had that extreme weather that we had, it really highlighted the importance of the primary producer in the food chain when the supermarket shelves were empty. So it's really just trying to highlight that and educate the visitors on the day in terms of the importance of the primary producer. Mm-hmm. So we're delighted to have Porrick and Breege, who are fantastic farmers in County Mayo. And look, the West is a huge area in terms of, you know, contribution to the economy from agriculture. So we're delighted to have a farm there of such a high calibre. It's great to have it, and that we can show to members of the general public and show what Porrick and Breege do on a daily basis.
Yeah, and many people don't realise just how many small local producers there are, everything from jam to maybe we take in many farmers have a part-time enterprise as well, and this is a huge growth area.
Absolutely. I mean, look, the knock-on effect from the primary producer is just huge. And, you know, you have a huge diversification in that space in recent years as well, where farmers have decided to go down the route of trying to go direct to market themselves. So, you know, in terms of, if you take Joyce's, for example, the milk they produce and where that ends up, you know, both on the domestic market and then if you look outside of Ireland as well. But in terms of the knock-on implications of the farm in that area, in Mayo or in Cork or Wicklow in Dublin, and the knock-on impact it has for that rural area, that local area, is just huge. So again, that's something we very much try to push out on the day. And the other thing is, you know, the whole area of career opportunity in the sector. It's such a vast area in terms of opportunity, and that's another message that we really want to you know, get out there on the day through this Open Farm event, is to attract the younger generation back to whether it's the farm or further down the chain within the industry, that there's so much opportunity there for the next generation relating to the agri-food sector.
I'm speaking with Deirdre O'Shea, the Executive Director of AgriAware. Deirdre, for people who maybe aren't too au fait with the background to the group, perhaps you can tell us a little bit about why it was founded and what exactly its responsibilities are.
Yeah, so AgriAware, we are an independent educational body for the agri-food sector. So we were set up by five key stakeholders in the industry just over 20 years ago. So the five founding members of AgriAware are the IFA, FPD, Board BIA, the Farmers Journal and ORNUA. So at the time, we were set up with a goal to ensure there was a positive image of agriculture among members of the general public, and that remains our core objective. So for us, it's looking at new innovative ways to engage members of the general public, particularly, as we said earlier, those from urban areas, in terms of the importance of Irish agriculture in terms of its contribution to the economy, to the environment, and all other aspects that it contributes to. So that's our main objective, and we feel that a National Open Farm Day, it's the first time it's been done in Ireland. It's rolled out in the UK, in Northern Ireland, but it's the first time in the Republic of Ireland. So we're starting with four farms this year across the country, and we think it'll be a great success and a great way to educate the general public about what farming is all about and the importance of the primary producer.
And that's all on May the 7th. Now, also just looking a little bit further ahead into the summer, are there a number of other events you can enlighten us about?
Yes, so once we wrap up with Open Farm in May, our next trip will be heading to the Phoenix Park for Bloom, Borbia's Bloom Festival. So we'll have a presence there. We'll have our farmyard, our farm animals, and we'll have lots of interactive activities. We'll have cookery demos and talks and lots of activity there, again, to cater for all audiences. And again, there's a huge urban audience that would attend the Borbia's Bloom Festival as well. So we'll be heading for Bloom over the June Bank holiday weekend. And then following that, we're heading for Tullamore Show, and then we're into the ploughing match in September. And then, of course, we have all our key programs that we run with through our schools, which are continuing throughout the school period. So a big one for us at the minute is our incredible edibles program with our primary schools, which is a healthy eating initiative that we run with the horticulture industry and IFA and Board BIA, where schools have the opportunity to grow their own fruit and vegetables and a variety of herbs as well. So that project is ongoing at the minute, and we're getting very positive feedback. And we just had our farm walks with our secondary school students as well. So we had over 3,000 students out on the Chagas Farms, UCD's Lions Estate, and the Irish Farmers Journal Farm in Tullamore. So again, another way to tap into the secondary school audience, the 15, 16, 17 year olds, and give them a hands-on learning experience of what it's like to work on a farm, and to highlight the potential opportunities in the industry in terms of career development.
And finally, if somebody wants to find out more, I presume the website is probably your best.
Yeah, you
protocol.
Can check out AgriAware's website, and we're active on all the social media channels, so Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. So you can keep an eye on our social media and on our website as well for further details of our programmes.
Deirdre O'Shea, Executive Director of AgriAware. Turning now to the subject of planning ahead after what's been a very difficult and long winter. Justin McDonough is a nutritionist with Orivo, and he's been outlining some of the measures that farmers can now take in the short term to try and minimise the risk of fodder shortages next winter and spring.
Hi Chris, thanks very much for having me on. Yeah, I suppose my purpose of coming on here and talking to yourself would be just with regard to forage. I suppose forage has been the buzzword there for the last number of months. I suppose in different parts of the country, a significant amount of months. Obviously, there's been an exceptionally long winter, and forage reserves have been, I suppose, depleted in most places, and most farmers have had to, I suppose, acquire extra forage. Ourselves, Revo as a co-op, we just want to, I suppose, make people aware that, you know, we are moving into the year, and if they do want to, I suppose, plan and avoid similar circumstances, because nobody can predict what next winter is going to be like. And this year was, I suppose, a harsh lesson for a lot of people in terms of, I suppose, quantity of forage, but I suppose we wanted to put a bit of an emphasis on quality as well.
And what about people who, you know, maybe in enduring cash flow difficulties? I mean, it's all very well to sort of plan ahead and spend a bit more, but are there ways that they can sort of spread payments and plan their budgetary side of things a little bit better as well?
Well, yeah, I suppose that comes down to an individual basis, Chris, and I'm sure that if anybody, whoever they're buying inputs off or whoever they may be dealing with, has to work with on a one-to-one basis. Ourselves as a co-op will work with anybody as best we can, and give the farmers the best support as possible, because I suppose we're well aware of the extended spring or extended winter period, and I suppose the poor spring. So we would be conscious of that, and we would be working with people as best we can. I suppose what we're trying to instill in our own region. Our Revo Farm Profit Builder Program held a couple of farm walks, three farm walks in conjunction with Chagas at the beginning of this month. And what it was really, it was called Silage 75. So around the whole silage budgeting and silage reserve on farms, the main objective was, from the walks, was trying to get farmers engaged into 75 units of minimum of nitrogen per acre for silage ground, with an aim to make 75% DMD silage, so very high quality silage, and to have 75% of the silage cut by the end of May, if possible, and engage in 75% of slurry after spreading. Now, there were just four simple rules. The reason people will say that, you know, it's difficult to make silage early in the year, especially with the spring we've had, but what we've seen last year was, you know, if people cut their first cut, it was very difficult to get a second and third cut with the weather conditions. So what we want to try and get, if possible, on farms, is for people to go out now and plan for their silage. Spread the right type of fertilizer and the right amount. So we said there are 75 units of nitrogen, but, you know, typically most people would be targeting 100 units of nitrogen. And then top up with your P's and K's depending on slurry, and that information is available to our own co-ops. Or, you know, typically it would be 25, 32 units of phosphate per acre, and maybe 100, 120 units of potassium per acre. It's very important that people realise that they need to feed the crop. It's like anything else. If you don't put enough in of one major element, you'll restrict the uptake of others. So we want to get the full potential from fertilizer usage, because it is an expensive input. The thing about cutting in late May is to give people two things going into the winter. A higher quality first cut, and people might say the yield might be a bit less, but the other side of that is it gives you a more an easier opportunity to plan for second and third cuts, because you have got your first bank of silage. You're cutting it at the right growth stage, so you have higher silage quality, but the regrowth is going to be a lot faster, because you're cutting it during a very high growth rate period in the year. Plus, you're not going to stagnate the crop by growing it too strong for the second and third cut. And then the other part of it is, we all know we had a lot of stock over the winter, but if people are aware of how much silage they actually do need for the winter and plan for, I suppose, a prolonged winter or worst case scenario, hopefully it won't be that, but just that people know the forage reserve that's needed on their own farm.
And just in terms of prices and buying ahead, fertilizer prices, are they fairly steady at the moment, or are you expecting that there will be an increase in the coming months?
I suppose, look, fertilizer prices are relatively steady at the moment. And I suppose this now is the time to engage with your supplier at the moment and, you know, talk to them and see how their prices are looking going forward and get the best value as possible. But again, that comes down to the individual basis. The last point, Chris, I just want to make is that ourselves as a co-op, whether it be the Nutrients Animal Feed team or the Homeland Store team or the Revo Farm Profitability team, are more than willing to engage with anybody who has any questions with regard to, I suppose, fertilizer plans, forage budgets for the winter, or even people who have, I suppose, hesitancy for cutting silage crops with regard to maybe excess nitrogen. We can do all them tests on farm and give people the advice on how to cut silage and how to get the best value and return.
Justin McDonough, nutritionist with Orivo. On to a couple of other items just before we go. Donegal Investment Group PLC will hold its annual general meeting in the Silver Tassie Hotel in Letterkenny at 11:30 on Wednesday the 16th of May. Last week, the company announced a profit of €2.8 million before tax on turnover of €44.2 million for the 6 months ending February 2018. And Orivo, the globally focused agribusiness, well, it's announced financial results for the financial year ending the 31st of December 2017. It reported a group operating profit before exceptional items of €3.9 million. That's an increase of 10% on the outturn for the previous year. Turnover for the year was €426.4 million, an increase of 9%. A record 420 million litres of milk were processed, an increase of 8% on 2016. Just time for the livestock prices. Cattle prices, steer base €4.05 a kilo, heifers €4.15 a kilo, and young bulls making €4.05 to €4.20 a kilo, with cows making €3.40 to €3.85 a kilo. The sheep price update, well, hoggets €6.40 to €6.50 to €23.5 a kilo. A spring lamb €7 a kilo, ewes making €3.30 a kilo. Well, that's it for this evening's programme. As always, many thanks for listening. From me, Chris Ashmore, until next week, goodbye. Thank you.